You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, please. It was great to hear the kids sing this morning, wasn't it? That was awesome. Thanks for doing that, Catherine. It's a great story. Jesus is the treasure. Romans 8:28 says something. All things work for good for those who love God and are called to His purpose. You ever heard that before? Everything works together for good. Now, when you read that, you might think it, you might translate that and think everything is good. But that's not what it says, is it? It doesn't say everything is good. It says everything works for the good. And sometimes there are bad things that happen in our life, and we wonder if God is really there. But in His plan, everything works for good. Easter was kind of like that. You know, a couple days before Easter happened, it was a horrendous event. Here was Jesus, the guy that loved His disciples, who walked with them, who healed. Like the guy was saying there this morning, He healed and He restored and He loved and He cared for people. And they took Him and they nailed Him to the cross. And all of His disciples, their hopes were dashed. They experienced something that was unexpected. All these guys thought that Jesus was the Messiah. He's the one who came to set us free. And they were kind of looking for almost like a military captain to come and set them free from the Romans. And all of a sudden, when they see Jesus being taken away and being hung on a cross and literally dying, their hopes were dashed. And they experienced something that was totally unexpected in their life. Now, I want to say to you this morning that all of us have unexpected events that come. How many here has never had an unexpected event? Well, that's unexpected. No, we all have had things that have come into our life. Even as Christians, we've had things that you might call tragedies come up in our life. We've had things that have dashed our hopes. We've had bad situations, divorces, people we love die. We lose our job. We lose our house. We lose our health. And you wonder sometimes, wow, that was unexpected. I thought I was walking with God. I thought I was serving God. How did these things ever happen to me? Well, it was kind of like that on the first Easter. All these guys experienced the unexpected. So I want to share with you three quick stories about different people, because the first Easter to them was not a day of rejoicing. They woke up Easter morning and it was a day of grief. It was a day of wondering what in the world just happened. How did this happen to us? Until Jesus came and began to restore them and give them a different perspective. The funny thing about it is that in the morning, before Jesus ever revealed Himself, they were walking around in total grief, because their perspective wasn't true. See, in reality, Jesus was alive. He was alive somewhere, walking around, but these guys were still walking in defeat, walking in depression, walking in despondency, or whatever else they had. There was grief in their hearts because they didn't understand the true thing that had happened. And oftentimes, we do the same thing. We are walking with grief in our hearts because we don't see God's perfect plan. All we experience is the bad thing that just happened to me. But God's got a plan that's a perfect plan. And His perfect plan was the resurrection. And once these guys saw it, they were revived again. So let's look at these stories. In verse 1, I'll talk about the ladies. The ladies who came to the tomb on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. These poor ladies had a couple of different unexpected events. One was that Jesus died. The second one was that His body wasn't there. They were expecting the body. They were expecting to rub these spices on His body, and now that's gone. Another unexpected event. The stone was rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not see the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, I want you to understand this word wondering, what it means in the Greek language. It means they were surprised and confused, so much so that they were unsure of how to react. Has that ever happened in your life? something happened and you were so surprised, it's almost like you were paralyzed. I'm not even sure how to react. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. We're just confused. And sometimes that happens. Even as Christians, things happen in our lives and it's like, man, we're shaken to the core. What in the world just happened here? Not even sure how to act. And so these women saw two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood there beside them. In their fright, they bowed down their face to the ground and they said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" What a strange thing to say. They came to a tomb expecting to see the body of Jesus, and these two men that were there said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." Then listen to this word. This is such a life-giving word if you can take it. Remember how he told you. You see, you got to remember that long before Jesus was crucified, he told them what was going to happen. He was preparing them ahead of time. Before the tragedy came, before the hardship came, before the crucifixion happened, he told his disciples on several occasions, "The Son of Man must be given over to the hands of evil men. He must be crucified and he must be buried and he will rise again in the third day." These guys on Easter morning, if they had remembered, if they had taken to heart what Jesus had actually told them and had prepared them for, they would have woke up Easter morning expecting the resurrection. But they weren't. No one was expecting the resurrection. All they could see was the unexpected event, the thing that has destroyed our hopes. And these angels simply said to these ladies, "Remember what he told you." And it goes on to say, "While he was with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day arise again." And then they remembered his words. All of a sudden, wow, yeah, how could we forget this? And at that moment, just because they remembered something Jesus has said to them, their whole thing changed. They were no longer despondent. Now they believed. Now they understood why there's no body here. And they came back, I believe they came back with joy and excitement to tell the other disciples, "Hey, there's no need for us to be grieved here because the truth is Jesus is alive." And so they came back and they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. And the next verse says, "And the apostles believed every word they said and said, 'Wow, such great news.'" Is that what your Bible says? The Bible says they did not believe these women. Why not? Jesus told them the same thing. He told them, "I'm going to die." See, we forget what Jesus tells us, what he has told us, what he's written in his word. We forget those things, especially when we're going through those times that are unexpected. We forget. And it's those very words of Jesus that will secure us, that will hold us, that will uphold us, that will give us a foundation to stand on in the middle of those trying times. But these apostles, they should have remembered just like these ladies did. Jesus told them the same thing. But they didn't believe him because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, I praise God for Peter. He was always the rambunctious one, wasn't he? Peter says, "I got to check this out." And he got up and he ran to the tomb. He ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves and he went away wondering to himself, what in the world has happened? Maybe in this moment, Peter's beginning to get a little seed of excitement. Maybe what these ladies said, even though it sounds totally unbelievable, maybe there's some truth to this. How about the two guys on the road to Emmaus? That's the next group of people. On the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Wouldn't you be? I mean, this is a traumatic event that just happened, and all we can think about, all we can talk about is how Jesus just died. Look what happened to him. We had our hopes in him that he was the one, and look, our hopes have been dashed. And they were having this kind of a conversation. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But listen to this. They were kept from recognizing him. What an amazing thing that happened. I'm not sure what happened there, but somehow the Lord tweaked their eyes so they could not recognize who it was who was standing there beside him. So here he is, the resurrected Lord, alive. But see, their reality was he's still in the grave. And they were living their life depressed and cast down when the Son of Man was standing there right beside him. And again, that's how it is with us, because we know the Bible says all things work together for good, but all we can see sometimes is the bad thing that's just happened. And somehow we miss out that God has this plan that's a perfect plan, and that ultimately it will work for good if I just believe him. I can remove myself from this downcast place and find somewhat joy. The Bible tells us to rejoice in our sufferings and rejoice in trials and rejoice when hardships come against you. And the only way we can do that is when we see that God has a bigger plan, a perfect plan that doesn't always include my safety or my well-being. And these guys were on the road talking. Jesus was there and they were kept from recognizing him. And in verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" How many of you know Jesus knew what they were talking about? But see, why I believe what Jesus was trying to do was help these guys come to the end of themselves. To be able to share your heart, to lay it all out there, to get it out, get it off your chest, so to speak, about how really defeated you really are. And he said, "What are you guys talking about?" And they said, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" What things? That's crazy. They're talking about you, Jesus. You know, they hung you on the cross a few days ago. Don't you remember that? But see, he's trying to get these guys to talk. Why didn't he just come and say, "Why are you guys so downcast? Look, it's me." That's what I would have done. Here's two guys. They're walking along. They're bummed out. Their whole life, it's like it's been, their foundation's been taken out. Wouldn't you just come and instead of hiding yourself, you say, "Hey, don't be sad anymore. Look, it's me." And immediately taken away their grief. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? Because Jesus has something else in mind. Jesus wants to give these guys something that will stick with them forever. And so he doesn't come and take the easy way. He doesn't come and just say, "Hey, stop feeling sad." He's going to draw them into something. And it's what I want you to see here this morning. He said, "What things?" He said, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet and powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one." You see, these are guys whose hopes were dashed. "We hoped he was the one, but he's not." And when they described Jesus, they didn't say he was the Messiah. They didn't say he was the Lord. He didn't say he was the great I am. They said he was a great prophet. Something changed in their view of Jesus because of their hopes being dashed. They thought differently about him. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. Does that sound like guys who are convinced? They want to see him. They want to see Jesus. I mean, his body's gone. What happened to it? I don't know what happened to it. He wasn't there. We're hearing these stories. We're hearing about the women. We're hearing about the angels, but no body is showing up. And these men were still downcast. And Jesus gave them these comforting words, "How foolish are you?" Thank you, comforting Jesus. "How foolish you are, slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." See, just like Jesus told those ladies up there, "Remember what I said to you," he's doing the same thing here, isn't he? Remember, look what the Word of God says. Why are you walking in this kind of dismay? Let's go back. Let's look at the Scripture. Let's see what it says here. So Jesus Instead of taking the easy way out, he's drawing them into this place where their confidence is in God's word, to really believe it, to believe it even when you're going through a difficult time. If these guys would have been knowledgeable of this and cognizant of what was going on in their hearts, they could have gone back to the scripture and found the things that Jesus is about to share with them. He said, "How foolish are you and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into glory?" And listen, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. He just sat with these guys and said, look at what it says here in Genesis. Look at what it says here in Exodus. You know what it was? It was the same Bible that we carry around. Jesus didn't have a special set of scriptures that only he used. It's the same one. And when these people were going through the difficult time, I love the fact that Jesus pointed them to the Word of God, because that's all we have to stand on. When we're going through difficult times, all we have to go to is the Word of God. Amen? Yes. And so Jesus, I'm glad that he is the same kind of a counselor. So the reason why he didn't give these guys an easy way out and say, "Hey, look, it's me," is he wanted them to find their confidence in the Word of God. Because once he rose and went to heaven and was gone, they would still have the Word of God. They would still have that thing which is forever in their hearts. And so Jesus taught them all the scripture concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. It's kind of funny how Jesus is toying with these guys, isn't it? All this time they don't know him. He's like, "I'm going to keep going, you know. I wonder if these guys are going to ask me to come into their house." This is another good reason why it's good to be a hospitable person. You never know who's going to end up in your house. You think it's a stranger, but here it was Jesus. Amen? They urged him to strongly stay with us. It's near evening. The day is almost over. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he broke the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened. All of a sudden, they see Jesus and they recognize him and he disappeared. What was that about? Wouldn't you think that, wow, Jesus disappeared, let's spend a little bit of time. Now we believe, we're so excited. We know he's alive. We've seen him here. But Jesus disappeared. Because what he was interested in is these men having confidence in the Word of God. They asked each other, listen to this, "Were not our hearts burning while he talked with us?" When Jesus begins to impart unto you the Word of God, your hearts burn. There's something that takes place deep in your spirit that's unexplainable, but it's God burning something deep inside of you. And that's what happened to these men. Were not our hearts burning while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now these guys were no longer downcast. They're excited. They want to go and tell the 11, just like the ladies did. And so they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and they said, "It is true. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. There's three things here I want to share with you about people who have their hopes dashed. One is they become downcast. This is what happened to these men. It says their faces were downcast. This is a word that means to have an angry visage, angry, an angry face, and they have a gloomy or mournful appearance. When your hopes are dashed, it affects us, doesn't it? And we get this kind of a look about ourselves. Their view of God was affected. Like they said, they didn't call Jesus Messiah. They said, "We had hoped he was the one. He was a great prophet, but obviously he's not the one he said he was, or he'd still be alive." And so somehow when we go through difficult times, we start changing our understanding of God. We say things like, "Well, if God really loved me, this never would have happened." Or, "How could God allow this to happen if he's so great? If he's so powerful, why can't he do this for my family?" And see, our whole view of God changes because of we experiencing something bad in our life, something unexpected, something that dashes our hopes, just like these people. And they thought of him differently than he really was. And finally, their hearts were sick. They said, we hoped he was the one. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 13, 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when your hopes are gone, your heart is sick. So you see, these guys were affected, every part of them, body, soul, and spirit. Their face was downcast. Their views of God were changed, and their heart was sick. And what did Jesus do? He turned them to the Word of God. He reproved them for not holding to the Scripture. And then finally, the 11 and the other disciples. In verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And Jesus, it says in the book of Acts that he came with many infallible proofs, trying to convince these guys that I'm really alive. And here he's going to do the same thing here. They think he's a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Anybody here ever struggled with doubts before? All right, you're among good men when you doubt. These are the guys that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. I mean, they literally walked with him every day, heard his teaching, spent time with him, laid their hands upon the sick people. I mean, these are guys that were very close to him and they doubted. How many of you know that Jesus can handle doubt? It doesn't move him off the throne when doubts rise up in our heart. But he doesn't want to leave us there, does he? He wants to bring us back to the Word of God. That's the only thing that moves doubt away. And so with these men, doubts were arising. He says, look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me. I want you to touch me because I'm not a ghost. Come here. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. This is the real me. I'm alive. I rose from the dead, as you have seen. And when he said this, he showed him his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, they were so happy they were unbelieving. He said, do you have anything here to eat? Isn't that awesome? I like this for several reasons. One is we get to eat in heaven. Number two, Jesus likes seafood. Amen for that. And number three is, in our resurrected body, the food doesn't just fall out. A little bit of tidbit there for you. Something to look forward to. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus asked for something to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Amen. He took it, and he ate it in their presence, and he said, this is what I told you. Remember? He's doing the same thing. All these stories, the same thing. Remember, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Why are you doubting? Why are you confused? Why have you given up? Why are you depressed? This is what I have told you when I was with you. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus has told us so much. He has told us so much. And we quote these things. We say, all things work together for good to those that love God. But I tell you, when we're going through it, we wonder why God doesn't love me. And what Jesus would say to you, this is what I've said. This is what I've written. This is what I have told you. He constantly pulls us back to the Word of God. Everything must be fulfilled, what is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And listen to this. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scripture. Isn't that a beautiful thing? This, to me, shows me that it's not really an academic exercise here. You might say, I'm not a good reader. Doesn't matter. Jesus opens our mind. I only have a fifth grade education. Doesn't matter. Jesus opened their mind to understand the Scripture. You don't have to be a college-educated person. You don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to be a Master of Divinity student. You just have to be a person who says, Jesus, come and show me your way. He opened their minds. These are ignorant fishermen. And Jesus opened their minds. I don't know how he did it, but all of a sudden, things that were written in the Moses and the law and the prophets concerning him were understood by these men. And it was by divine revelation. Praise God for that. Most of us in this room wouldn't know a whole lot about Jesus unless he gave it to us by revelation and by the Holy Spirit. He opened their minds and he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So here's my lessons for today. First thing you got to remember is God does not shield us from unexpected events. God does not shield us from events in our life that dash our hopes. Jesus, you know, if Jesus was more concerned about taking care of these women's expectations, see, their expectation on the day was to come and put the spices in. And Jesus could have said, you know what, I really care about not upsetting their expectations, so I think I'm just going to stay in the tomb and let them come and put their spices on me. Then everybody will be hunky-dory. But see, he's not that concerned about that. He has a purpose. He's committed to his purpose. Because his purpose is always perfect. It is always good. It is always right. It is always the best. These people who experienced the death of Jesus Christ never had in mind what the real picture was, even though he tried to prepare them. All they could see was the negative. And we do the same thing. We, instead of us saying, well, if God was really God, he would have kept this thing for me. Or if God was really God, then this never would have happened. Or if God was who he said he was, he would show me his love in this way. And so we begin to dictate to him what we think he should be like. But he's committed to his purposes. He's not committed to keeping tragedy from our life. We live in a world where there's tragedy constantly. If you've not experienced it in your life up to this point, hang in there. It's coming. And when it does, be ready. Be ready. Jesus always directs us to the Word of God. You know, when you counsel people, the best thing you can do is direct them to Jesus, direct them to the Word of God. I just want to close with a little story about Tricia Nottingham, because I talked to her about a week or two ago, and you said some things that really blessed me, and you may not even be aware, and I want to share. I asked you if I could, so I don't owe you $10. You know, some of you may not know, but Tricia recently had been diagnosed with breast cancer. How many of you know that's an unexpected event? That's something that can dash your hopes, and you can wonder, God, what is this all about? How did this happen? We're serving you. We're faithful to you. We, you know, whatever. And you begin to think about why. And I was asking her a couple Sundays ago about, you know, tell me a little bit about what went on in that event. And she kept saying how she was so blessed because so many people would text her and send her scriptures. And those were, you know, life-giving. They were a blessing. And she felt the love from so many people saying, hey, you know, here, look at the Word of God says this and that. But the thing that she said that really spoke to me was, she said, and then I was praying to the Lord. And I asked the Lord to show me something. And he said, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. Isn't that a weird scripture to tell somebody who's struggling with the event of having cancer? Don't boast yourself of tomorrow. And she thought it was kind of weird. And, you know, the thing about Jesus is he knows exactly what we need to hear. I never would have gone to a person in her condition and said, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. That just sounds kind of like morbid. But when Jesus said it, it's what she needed to hear. And just like these guys, something burned in her heart. And she said this scripture is one that have upheld her through the entire ordeal. But it's what Jesus said to her. I think the idea was that I have your future in my hands. It's me. Don't worry about tomorrow. I got this. And then she was complaining, or I'm not sure was complaining, but something like, Lord, I see all these scriptures about this and that, but I need something about health, something about healing. And the Lord said, go read the book of Job. Now again, who would have done that? Jesus. And she began to read the book of Job. In one sitting, she sat down and began to read the book of Job. And the thing that ministered to her is when Job had finally come to the end of himself, didn't really have any answers, and the Lord said, where were you when I did this? Where were you when I set this in motion? Where were you when I caused this to happen? And the thing that ministered to her is God is in control. Amen. See, that's the point of this message here today. When you're going through difficult times, there's nobody, nobody like Jesus who can get you where you need to be. And I guarantee you, when Jesus ministers to you, he's going to pull you back to the Word of God. Right back to the Word of God. And so I encourage you, let's believe God has a plan, that all things do work for good. And let's go to the Scripture. Let's stand together. When you go to the Scripture, what I'm talking about is not just making it an academic event where you're checking off, I read two chapters today. That's not what the Lord's talking about. Jesus said one time to the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but you won't come to me that you might have life." And I believe what he means when we say go to the Scripture, we want to interact with Jesus. Go to the Word of God and say, "Lord, show me something here. Open my eyes to understand. Burn something into my heart. Because this is eternal. This will stand forever." And who wants the easy way out? Some of us do. Some of us would rather have Jesus on the road to Emmaus say, "Hey, stop feeling so bad. Look, I am alive and all your problems are solved." But I would rather take the hard road and say, "Lord, burn the Word of God into my heart. No matter what comes, I will stand with you." Amen? That's what we need. So let's pray. Father, open our hearts to your Word. I thank you so much that Jesus rose from the dead, Lord, but I thank you also that you have called us to be men and women of your Word, that the things you said are true, that you cannot lie, that you are a God who is faithful, and your words and your promises are forever. And so, Lord, I ask you this morning to burn that in our hearts. For those that may be going through a difficult time or an unexpected time or their hopes have been dashed, I ask you, Lord, to help them to draw close to you in this hour, that they can receive from you the necessary thing to get their footing again. I pray for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,